Thank you very much. Can you hear okay? Okay. We'd like to call the Commission of Government Forecasting and Accountability meeting to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Bellick.
Here.
Senator Frerichs.
Here.
Senator Murphy. Representative Nekritz. Representative Poe. Representative Riley. Senator Schmidt. Senator Schoenberg, Senator Severson, Senator Trotter,
here.
Representative Tryon. It's four members answering the roll, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. I'd like to add to that Representative David Leach, represents the 73rd District, is joining us today. Is there anybody else here that we didn't? Oh. Representative Dern. Oh, Senator Dern-LaHood. Thank you. Oh, Senator Kaler's here also. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to start the meeting with, Representative Jehane Gordon, you can join us too, please. Thank you. I'd like to start the meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much, and we'd like to thank you all in Peoria for hosting this meeting today and for the library for taking part in the host. We appreciate that. And I would just also like to ask all of you who are here today, we ask in the meetings, even though we know it's a very emotional and contentious issue, we ask that we maintain the same decorum that we would have in the Capitol because we've brought this official meeting to this place. Thank you. So the first panel will be the State of Illinois Executive Branch Officials, and that would be the Illinois Department of Corrections, Luke Hartigan, Chief of Staff, Brian Gleckler, Chief Financial Officer, Ann McElroy, Chief of Labor Relations, and then the Governor's Office of Management and Budget, Austin Bitus, Associate Director. Oh, I think he's running late. Oh. He's not here yet, but he'll be joining us. The first panel, please proceed. Oh, I would also like to, I'm State Representative Patty Bellock. I'm one of the co-chairs of CACFA, and Senator Schoenberg, the other co-chair, could not be here today, so Senator Donnie Trotter is going to be the other co-chair of the meeting today. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, honorable members of the Commission, distinguished legislators. For the record, my name is Luke Hartigan. I am the Chief of Staff for the Illinois Department of Corrections. I am here today on behalf of our director, Tony Godinez, who is sorry he could not be here with us today. The state of Illinois is in very tough fiscal times, and action must be taken all across government to restructure and stabilize the state's budget, with approximately 86% of the Department of Corrections budget spent on operating facilities. It is the unfortunate reality that, among other cuts, facilities must close and some employees must be affected. The decision-making process in regard to facility closures was multifaceted, taking into account the impact to staff and their families, cost savings, public safety, and maintaining Director Godinez's vision to strengthen the bridge that offenders use to transition back to communities from prison while at the same time maintaining our mission to protect public safety. When we evaluated facilities for closure, we tried our best to keep the impact to families and communities to a minimum. Towards that end, we estimate that there will be approximately 135 positions within a 90-mile radius to the 30 employees at the Peoria ATC. By closing Peoria ATC, the cost savings are clear. For instance, the cost of electronic home detention averages about $5 per person, in comparison to $44 per offender per day at Peoria ATC. The closing of the ATC will result in savings of approximately $3.5 million in fiscal year 13 and approximately $4.2 million on an annualized basis. The closing of the Peoria ATC will have minimal impact on the department's reentry programming initiatives because the department has been preparing to introduce a community-based model of electronic home detention. Similar to what electronic home detention offers, the Adult Transition Center offenders are already allowed supervised movement in the community to work, attend school, receive treatment services in the community. A community-based model of electronic home detention for low-level offenders fits with the customary industry-wide practice we're seeing across the nation. The program will provide offenders a controlled environment that will lay the groundwork for a smoother reentry to society and lessen the strain on families whose loved ones are sentenced into the prison system. In closing, given the department's projected funds available in the next fiscal year, the department views the closure of Peoria ATC as a wise decision in light of the projected reduced funding to the Illinois Department of Corrections. I respectfully ask the Commission and your colleagues in the General Assembly to join us in supporting this decision for the reasons that I have laid out. Thank you for the Commission's time and attention. Myself, Brian Gleckler, our CFO, and Mr. Ed Jackson, our DOC Labor Relations Assistant Chief, invite any questions the Commission or the legislators might have.
Thank you very much. And will the clerk please add Representative Tryon to the roll? And Riley, I'm sorry. Representative Riley. Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee, please? Representative Poe.
I think we're going now. Thank you. Just quickly, so what do you do? Let's say this process goes through, and what do you do if you electronic monitoring? What happens when this, now let's say assume the system's gone, what happens in the middle of the night when these goes off? Where do you take them if they break their electronic monitoring? What happens to them people then?
If it was a cut-and-run type of situation or they're outside the range of the monitoring equipment, one of our contractors is immediately notified that there's an alarm, and then there's a protocol for notification through the parole division as well as apprehension division who start to, you know, take steps to try to locate the offender.
Okay, we caught the offender now. Where are we going to take him?
There's a couple of options. I mean, if it's a situation where he or she, the offender, was with intent to flee the area or is in the middle, obviously, of committing another crime, any new charges or total intent to defeat the system, yes, they'd go back to a facility. Certainly, we'd look at each case. If it's a technical malfunction or there's something that we felt as though the person doesn't have to.
So your staff's on duty 24 hours a day at 2 a.m. to take care of this?
Yes, sir.
And so when you said another facility, what are you talking about? The county jail, another correctional facility? What are we talking?
If there's new charges involved with the escape, most likely they would go to a county facility. If there's not, and it's something that the Department of Corrections personnel found him, and we were sure that he was trying to defeat the monitoring equipment, he would go to the nearest, probably the NRC or nearest facility, and then eventually.
So what's that cost per day?
the cost per day in a correctional facility. It varies by facility,
right.
But on average, it's similar to the same cost of an ATC on a daily basis.
So
approximately between $50 and $60 per day.
Okay, well, that don't add up, but anyway. And another thing, if we close these, you're telling me it's only $5 a day to hire new staff, buy new computers, new monitoring equipment, all those kind of things, someone available on salary, it's only going to cost $5 a day.
We're looking at utilizing existing staffing resources to monitor these inmates that will be placed on electronic detention. The $5 per day is for the electronic bracelet itself. Then the offenders will be monitored by existing staff that we are already paying for.
So if you close this facility, what would be the nearest spot that, this ATC, how many is there, 8 of them in Illinois?
There are 7.
And you're going to close how many?
6.
And okay, so the one that's left is where?
In Chicago.
And so you're not going to run them in Chicago. That's where. So what staff do you still have in Peoria to monitor Central Illinois here?
We have a parole presence throughout the state. So the parole office, there's a parole office in Peoria, and those officers, the inmates that will be on electronic detention in this area will go on to their caseloads.
And we have a 24-hour shifts monitoring.
Yes.
It's not alarmed and someone comes in. There's actually a person there to take care of these.
The agents will be notified in the event that there's an alarm, and yes, they have a 24-hour presence.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Riley.
Thank you. Wonders of modern technology. Thank you so much. I've got a few questions, but I'd like you to sort of bear with me on a rhetorical one, and that is, what is the role of an ATC? Any of you?
The role of the ATC is to provide a step down to offenders that are within 24 months of the release into the community. The ATC center provides opportunities for the offenders to gain employment in the community where they are able to partially reintegrate back into society from the correctional center. These offenders are not on parole status as of the time that they are at an ATC. They're still they have not yet reached their MSR release date at that time. So it's the purpose is for them to step down, hopefully become gainfully employed, and be prior to the release onto parole.
And this model has been around for a while. I remember back in the 70s, we used to call them work release centers, but it's the same type of model. Okay, knowing that, we know that they're not on parole, and the very name itself, transition, is very important. Now, earlier, the gentleman in the middle talked about reentry, but you couched reentry on the basis of electronic monitoring. And I would submit, and, I'm sure you would agree, that reentry and reintegration is much more than whether or not they have an electronic monitoring system. It's all those very supports that the gentleman said. So how are those things going to be accomplished when this center closes as we move to, and I want to make one point. Language and rhetoric is everything. But, in all of the other situations that I'm in where I'm looking at closures of DD facilities, MH, and now these. Everybody talks about this amorphous community. And I'm getting a little tired of hearing that. You know, as if the community is some sort of big bastion of everything that's right and good about the world. And everything else that's not in the quote-unquote community is bad and horrid. And since this is a policy or a commission that evaluates policy, I think, you know, I'd like to hear more specificity. When you mention community, what in fact does that mean? So, again, I the question is, what kind of supports, taking into consideration that there's all kinds of things that go into reentry that these folks are going to have to go through, how is that going to be accomplished in the so-called community just on the basis of the fact that people will have electronic monitoring?
Representative, given a $112 million budget reduction, obviously there are negative consequences to any reduction that is out there that is being proposed. There are positives and negatives associated with all of these proposals. Currently, for our ATC centers, only 3% of our population that's released on an annual basis actually gets released from an ATC. The other 97% of our population is released from a regular correctional facility. Some of the other measures that we are in the process of taking to assist in the transition absent an ATC center is we are looking to reorganize our parole division in order to ensure that the higher risk offenders and anybody placed on electronic detention would fall into this category are placed under an increased amount of supervision. And so the parole agents are focusing their efforts on these types of offenders out in the community and trying to build a bridge with other community providers to provide job placement in any treatment that's necessary.
And you know, that's I think that's the very point, that these changes will actually mean that you'll have to change your entire focus or structure, possibly on maybe folks going to parole quicker. I mean, it's a big administrative and operational change, would you say? That would have to be made.
I think that the parole change is something that we would look to do regardless of the future of the adult transition centers.
Okay. Do you want to speak on the employment losses and the loss of economic activity? You know, roughly 48 people and about $6.2 million of lost economic activity to the community that this closure will affect.
Right. Yeah. As part of this process, we did solicit an economic analysis from the University of Illinois. They did conclude that as far as staffing figures, there's 30 jobs lost from the facility and then an additional 18 projected indirect job losses that would be realized as a result of this closure, and then a total economic loss of approximately $6.3 million. Associated with the closure of this transition center.
No small bit of money. Even though that might not be on your purview, but I've asked this question before in other venues. I mean, I am sure that that's important to you. Is there any kind of plan to deal with that? Because you're talking about cuts, you know, which may or may not have some sort of effect on the state budget. At the same time, you're talking about the loss of all of this economic output. Now, in another venue, we were down at Centralia last week, and I talked about, you know, possibly, I mean, I don't want this center to close, but if it does, enlisting, and that would have to come from you, you know, enlisting DCEO, who does a great job. We pay him a whole lot of money, almost $2 billion, to keep businesses in this state. Possibly they could have something to do with helping this community out with regard to this loss.
Yeah, absolutely, Representative. The first thing, one of the things that the economic report, now we did mention the 48 jobs, we do project there to be 135 positions available within a 90-mile radius. So hopefully the impact on the 30 staff at the facility, we hope to be able to find them jobs elsewhere, so they at least are able to maintain employment. If the facility were to close, we absolutely will reach out to DCEO and Employment Security in order for them to work with them on minimizing the impact on the local economy. But we do understand, there would be an impact.
Yeah, there will be. One final question. To what extent do you contract with community services, local community-based organizations, to help you in the reentry process? And if this facility closes, to what extent are you going to redouble those efforts to deal with, those kinds of agencies?
Yeah, as far as our community contracting, there's no additional funding in our budget to expand upon community funding for fiscal year 13. But we do have contracts in place for treatment services, whether it be substance abuse, for placement services, day reporting, treat halfway back for offenders on parole as a graduated sanction. We do have services available in the community. And then there are many services that we do take advantage of through other entities that are we don't get charged for to help facilitate an offender's reentry back into society.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Tryon, and then Representative Poe.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Let me see if I understand how this would operate. You would be placing those individuals that are currently in a transition center in a home-based environment, correct?
For those offenders that would be eligible for electronic detention, yes.
So what kind, I mean, I'm assuming there's an assessment of the home environment and there is a realistically some way you're going to evaluate the ability of the home environment to accommodate the offender?
Correct. The parole division, similar as what we do with regular parolees, would do what they call a host site investigation, and it'd be very thorough to make sure that we're placing the offender in the proper home environment.
What if the offender's home environment doesn't want him there?
We looked at alternatives. If the situation occurred, obviously, that we simply could not find him a proper place for a residence, then he would no longer be eligible for consideration for electronic detention.
So then he would serve out the remainder of his term incarcerated in a maximum security or minimum security prison?
Correct.
What is the cost compared to that individual being returned back to the prison environment versus the transition center environment?
Our average annual per capita cost for a facility, a correctional center, is about $20,500 per year. The per capita cost for an ATC center or transition center is actually $21,400 per year. I think it's an economy of scale because obviously the correctional centers are much larger than an ATC, and that's why you see a larger per capita cost on the ATC side than you do on a correctional center side. But the costs are comparable.
A 5% difference more in your area. What percentage do you think and have basically not an option to go into a home-based environment? I mean, you of your census.
There's currently 229 offenders, I believe, today at Peoria ATC. As we speak, we're continuing departmental-wide to review all eligible offenders statewide. And at this point, given those 229 and the fact that the ED program is more based on offense rather than time left on the sentence, and it's more strict, obviously the host site issue is one that, since many of them have jobs already, they probably have a legitimate host site that we hope to place them in. So we just don't know exactly today how many qualify from this group to go on ED.
Have there been any other states that you know of that have, you know, terminated their transition options for home-based monitoring?
Representative, I don't know if there are other states that have actually closed transition centers. I don't know if they're set up similarly to the way that we are. I do know that other states have gone to electronic detention. I mean, that is a fairly common practice in other states and in the federal government. I don't know about the ATC centers, though.
And then I have one other question. So some of the services that an offender would receive in a transition center, as Representative Riley pointed out, might be additional therapeutical type services, counseling, coaching, maybe mentoring. Would that continue in the home-based environment?
For those offenders still requiring those types of services, the parole staff would help try to bridge that and identify services in the community, either through vendors that we already have a contractual relationship with or through other entities that do provide those services. So, yes, whenever possible, we would try to ensure that those services are provided in the community to these offenders.
Thank you. No further questions.
Representative Poe.
Just quickly a follow-up on Representative Riley's. How many people do we serve in the six facilities you're talking about closing? What's the population total?
Approximately 1,000 offenders.
Okay, now out of that 1,000, how many of those will be paroled in a year's time? You said 3% of the whole population. Well, that's not a real comparison, I don't think.
How many of those 1,000 will go through? I mean, I think the average length of stay in an ATC is, between a year and a half. So
then they're paroled at that point.
Right, once they reach their mandatory supervised release date.
I guess what sparked the question was 3% of the total population is paroled from these facilities. But if we look at these facilities on their own, you're closer to 100% of these people are paroled.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what we got to look at. This is a success story that actually reflects on the whole system of the people that's paroled, and it's a transition period that's very successful, and that's the point I like to make.
Okay. Are there any other questions from Representative Leach?
I'd be curious to see a list of the community-based providers with whom you have contracts. Many of us were at a meeting this morning which just continued to underscore the cuts and the effect of those cuts on community-based services, so I'd be interested in that. The other point, what is the status of the parole system in Illinois? My understanding is the parole system itself is very much overwhelmed.
Right now, sir, I think we have about between 400 and 420 parole agents statewide. As we go into FY13, it is our hope, I know the director's hope, and we're working with the governor's office and the OMB, that although there'll be a reorganization, we don't anticipate the loss of any headcount at this time.
What kind of reorganization? What is their caseload today? And how would it expand under this?
It varies depending on what area you're in, but generally off the top of my head, between 85 to maybe 95 caseloads. And the reorganization, again, generally speaking, is that given advancements in technology where compliant parolees, especially after they've proven and, you know, that after 6 months to a year that they're going to probably make it, that they're not going to reoffend, those can be monitored by either call-ins to our contractor or an administrative type of agent that has higher caseloads because he might or she might not be going out on the street to do face-to-face visits with higher-level offenders.
Who is the contractor that the department has serving this area?
Protocol USA, I think that's statewide. It may have been taken over by a firm called GEO Incorporated. I'm not sure. We can check on that. But it's one we've used for a while.
And what is their function? What service are you contracting for?
It's essentially a paperless parole system. In other words, the service, the parolees get a number when they get out onto their parole. It's kind of like a data center. It has full-time operators. They can call in to say, I'm checking in. They can leave messages for their parole agent. Every morning when a parole agent starts his or her day, they check for messages, that kind of thing. They keep track of the compliance level of a parole agent during the time he's on parole.
So under the present system, I know here there's been very important work done in transition, including job opportunities, GED opportunities. Will this closure mean foregoing all of that in the future? I mean, are those options now lost to people who would otherwise be taking advantage of those services to reduce recidivism and so forth here?
We don't believe so.
How would that happen? Who would coordinate that? So someone could go to a GED class here that would be overseen by this?
Currently, our information is that the offenders here at the Peoria ATC, for specifically GED classes, we get help from the community college, and that's a resource that we can tap into.
And is that funded?
I don't believe we get charged for those services.
But you don't know that it's funded either, do you?
Well, I know it's not DOC funding.
I know, but you say the services are available, but you don't know that those services are available here now.
I believe they are currently, and that if the center closed, we believe those services would still be available, only being administered by the parole division rather than the ATC itself.
And can you tell us when we can look forward to seeing a bill from the governor as it relates to this? When we propose this legislation so we can take a look at it in specificity?
I don't want to speak for either the governor's office or the General Assembly, but I know Friday through the John Howard Association and the Coalition for Prison Overcrowding. Senator Raul, who is working with the John Howard Association, and Judge DeVito, as well as the members of the Sentencing Policy Advisory Committee, are working diligently, I think, on a bill towards that end.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Could the governor's representative of the Office of the Budget join us at the table, because I think some people had questions. Are there other members? I had a question, just as, not for you, but Representative Poe does, but just while you were...
Go ahead, I'll
okay, thank you. I guess my main question is if of the 224 that are here at the center, how many of those are going to go specifically into the ED program?
Representative, we don't have an exact figure at this time because it's an ever-changing number in the population. There are statutory requirements for an offender to be placed on electronic detention. We are placing additional criteria on all offenders that are being evaluated for electronic detention eligibility. I believe the initial list of inmates through in our from the ATCs that would be eligible for electronic detention was approximately 180 offenders that we are looking at initially of utilizing electronic detention for. So I don't have the specifics on this facility itself.
180 of the six that you're closing?
No, 180 of the an initial pool of candidates. There are others that will be eligible as we continue to go through this process, but 180 today that we are looking at for electronic detention.
But not 180 out of these 224. That's very misleading.
No.
I mean, what we're trying to get a grasp of here is this seems to be a successful program in transitioning people out of prison into jobs and home environment. So I'm trying to get an idea of what you're talking about, because if, say, only 10, I mean, I don't know what you're talking about here. You've got 224 people. If you're only talking about 10 or 20 going into this ED program, are the other people going back to prison?
Whoever is not placed on electronic detention, yes, the remainder of the population will go back to a correctional facility to finish until they're released onto parole.
So you're talking about 1,000 people in the six centers, correct?
Yes.
Around that?
That is correct.
Okay. And maybe only 180 getting into an ED program. I mean, I was trying to stay on this particular, but if six are closing, I guess it would give us an idea. It seems to me it's stopping the entire TC program pretty much.
What we're hoping is that in comparison to ATC eligibility versus ED eligibility, each facility is different and actually each offender is different depending on what they did to get incarcerated. Our preliminary reviews as we proposed the budget and worked on the budget was that we're going to shoot for at least 1,000 offenders statewide to place on ED. That number we may not reach right from the ATCs. In other words, there might not be 1,000 that are ED eligible currently in an ATC statewide. But to kind of settle your fears, what we're looking for is to reach at least a 60 to 65% goal from the current offenders that are ATCs right now.
So you've got 40% more than that are already in a transition center with job training and maybe working on jobs, and now you're going to take them out of that and reincarcerate them?
That's the reality, ma'am, of this budget, and that's the balance that the governor and the director have to make decisions on, whether it's a public safety issue or a community-based issue. Which one weighs out more? I mean, we continue to try to review all the offenders and give them, a careful review as we go forth.
I had one other point that when I did take a brief tour, one of the men that was nice enough to give me the tour, he told me that of the people that did get jobs, that they gave back 20% of their salaries to the center. So that takes down the cost. When you gave us the cost of how much each center cost versus prison, I would imagine the 20% would add up to a sizable amount.
Yeah, for Peoria ATC, it's about $500,000 per year that we collect into our reimbursement and education fund associated with the ATC maintenance.
Okay. My other question was that one of the other representatives or senators brought up is that just comes to light right away because we've been facing this issue with the DD centers, the closures also, is the home environment. I can't imagine, and when you said the community college, I mean, the whole system you have set up here is a good one, it sounds to me, in helping people transition out to jobs, college, GEDs, things like that. So I'm not sure that the percentage of the people that are here, where they would be going when they leave this program, you know, I doubt that they'll all be staying in this area. So I don't know if you're going to provide, you know, say like they go back, I don't know if there are people here from Cook County or other places. If they go back to there, they're not in a centralized location to be able to go to the community college. I just see a lot of the preparation that they're doing here being diversified, and I don't know what the follow-through will be. That's a concern. Thank you. Senator Kaler has a question, then Representative Poe had a follow-up question.
Yes, thank you. I want to follow up on that line of questioning that Representative Bullock talked about, because I think this is important. If it weren't for the budget considerations, would there be any reason why we'd ever want to not have transition centers?
What I think what the governor and what the director is trying to accomplish here is that the parole division and transitioning offenders, 97% of which are coming out of the facilities, they're going to receive the same services when they reach their MSR as they would when they're an ED offender. So that, in effect, the parole division is the ATC, and that. From an economy scale and an efficiency scale, we think we can provide almost as good of a program on ED as we do at the ATCs.
Almost as good of a program, but the reality is that you have a good program. I mean, I remember when I was on the city council and this issue came up as to where to house the, at that point it's called, I think, Work Release Center, now the Adult Transition Center. And there was all sorts of concerns in the community about are these dangerous people? How will they interact with the community? I've not heard one complaint. These are citizens that have been able to assimilate back into society. You'll hear from some businesses later in terms of the work that they provide, the training that they receive. I mean, these centers work, don't they? And I just have to make a comment that I think that all of us, both sides of the aisle, we would be the first ones to say, let's cut waste in government. But this isn't waste. We're not talking about waste here. We're talking about a waste. It seems to me as if we eliminate these centers that work and then go into something that's unknown. Again, other than budget considerations, there is no good reason as to why we'd want to eliminate these centers, is there?
Senator, yeah, I mean, I would definitely agree with you. This is not an example of waste, and we're not going to dispute that it's not a good program because it obviously is. The numbers speak for themselves. However, unfortunately, we do have to give fiscal consideration given the current economic climate in the state of Illinois, and this is just one of many unfortunate reductions that have to be taken and implemented statewide.
And just a final comment, I understand the situation we're in. This is not a program I can consider cutting because I think that it's going the wrong direction.
Thank you. Representative Pope.
Yeah, just quickly, just one question for the chief of staff, and then I want to talk to the budget people. But you mentioned this was the plan, this is an ongoing plan of the director of corrections, right?
Yes, sir.
Since we got a plan, can you go ahead and give us, the committee, the plan for next year? I'm assuming if there's a plan, there's like a 5-year plan, and maybe you can inform us what's coming in the future and probably make it a little easier for us to operate.
Sir, do you mind if I let Mr. Gleckler answer that?
Well, that or get it to us later? Or?
Representative, I wish I could sit here and be able to look into the future and be able to tell you that, you know, exactly what's going to transpire next year. However, given the current pressures with specifically Medicaid and pension reform, not knowing the outcomes of those reforms, will, you know, how those evolve will have a direct bearing on the resources that will be available not only for the Department of Corrections but other state agencies to work with as we move into the next future fiscal years.
Just a comment, because it seems like we're doing a lot of emergency planning here more than long range, and that was probably the only point I wanted to make. But I would like to ask the Austin from the governor's office some questions about the budget. And maybe you could go back, and I'm assuming you said in those management meetings where we're talking about the budget, give us a thought process and what happened and how we got to the point we're talking about closing facilities like this one.
Thank you. I'm Austin Batis, Associate Director at the Governor's Office of Management and Budget. And the governor proposed a budget this year of $33.9 billion. And in amongst that budget is 39% of it goes to pensions and Medicaid. So it's $13.2 billion of it. And pensions and Medicaid have been growing more than the rest of the budget, which has caused a squeeze on all other spending. So in the governor's proposed budget, we recommended approximately 9% reductions across almost all agencies, including a 9.2% reduction for the Department of Corrections. And, you know, in working with the Department of Corrections, we've worked to try and identify efficiencies and where we can come up with that 9.2%. And as you were alluding to a second ago, one of the challenges with the Department of Corrections is we're given a certain number of prisoners that we have to house, and we don't have control over that number. And so we have to take a limited number of resources, figure out the most efficient way to use those resources. And that's how we end up here today.
Okay, and you haven't done this today, but other panels, as we've went around the state, and they also talk about that the legislature is proposing less dollars than the governor's proposal, and they seem to try to shift that blame to the legislature. So I don't know, I just feel at some point we got to maybe give you some input too, because we're talking about 1,100 jobs as I sit in front of most of these we're talking about in Illinois. And I think Representative Riley and myself both have mentioned, especially down in Centralia, but, you know, we got DECO, and right now they're asking $417 million to increase the employment rate in Illinois. They're also asking another $228 million to enhance the business climate. I think what we're looking at, and some numbers that some panelists give out, that we're going to save maybe $88 million, which I don't think can happen that fast. But I guess as a legislator, I think saving 1,100 jobs in the state of Illinois would be a great position that DECO could go after. And I'm wondering why the governor's office and you in the budget office would say, look, you know, we'd be lucky if we can create 1,100 jobs somewhere, and this is a pretty good investment to keep good programs like this one running. Did the budget office ever consider that?
So, Representative, the one thing I'd caution you with the DCO numbers there is the vast majority of that is federal funds. DCO's general funds budget is, and I don't have numbers in front of me, but around about $40 million.
That's right. And also you have another $406,537,200 in other state funds. Also, as you presented this budget in front of the committees at the House.
Correct.
So I'm assuming some of that money could be used.
A lot of that money is money that's collected from utility companies to use for energy efficiency projects and stuff like that.
Well, I guess we don't debate that today, but all I'm saying, there's money available, and why can't we look at saving jobs also, and even saving jobs in state government and closing down some good programs? Another area as a legislator, and I'm not sure it'd be supported totally here by the ever legislator here, but also the governor's refused to act on a gaming bill. That if we'd have approved that a year ago with Racinos, and that Racinos will bring in $92 million in the state of Illinois, that whole package would have created 20,451 jobs. Maybe we should have talked about that in our budget meetings, that this is money that's laying there on the table. If we would work with the legislature, sign something like that, and we'd have enough money to keep these facilities open in the state of Illinois. Thank you.
Senator LaHood.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for being here today. If I understand what you said in terms of closing the six facilities in the state, this has not been modeled after anything else in any other states. Is that correct?
To close transition centers to place inmates on electronic detention, no, I don't believe that it has. Electronic detention is being utilized by other states, and other states are closing facilities as budget-saving measures.
And could you point to one particular area, one particular instance where you've sort of formulated that policy, or how did you do that collectively? I understand the financial part, but how did you reach the conclusion this was the best model to go with?
I believe in looking at our available resources that we were going to have for fiscal year 13, we had to look at reductions that would have the least amount of overall impact on day-to-day agency operations. So obviously with the population pressures that we have, that's how we looked at electronic detention, other states that utilize electronic detention and have vetted that proposal with the governor's office. I know that there's a committee with governor's office officials and members of all the caucuses on looking at other population management reforms that are currently still being discussed. But when projecting out, in an agency where 86% of our costs are tied to facility operations, we had to look at the facilities, we had to look at our population, and come up with proposals that we would still be able to implement, not have inmates on gym floors, and still operate in a safe and secure manner.
And I guess in terms of outcome or looking in the future, I mean, can you point to some successes where this has been implemented, maybe through this commission and other places where there are successes? I mean, and the goals that you ultimately want to reach.
I don't know that given the recent trends towards the utilization of electronic detention is not a new phenomenon. I mean, the state of Illinois, the Illinois Department of Corrections, had an electronic detention program in the 90s. Where the recidivism rate for that population is no higher at the time than the recidivism rate for the department in total. I don't know. I'm not aware of any national trends or national success stories that I could share with you in regards to this, but we have no reason to believe that reinstating the electronic detention program in the manner that we recommend in reinstating it will be any less successful than it was in the past.
Well, I guess, obviously, from what we've heard in looking at the facility here in Peoria, we have something that works. I think it's been money well spent. We've had successes. It just seems the transition, no pun intended, but the direction you're going now, this is really uncharted territory. Would you say that's fair?
by taking the transitional center component away, yes, that's a fair statement.
Okay, and in terms of looking out, what you're looking at in terms of successes for this program or goals, can you expound on that a little bit, what you're hoping to achieve?
Well, I mean, ultimately what we always hope to achieve is reducing our overall recidivism rate to keep offenders from coming back into the system. So that is our ultimate goal. So that's why it's going to be critical that the services and the jobs that these offenders get are maintained.
But besides your reference to some time ago, the recidivism rate going down, there's no other examples or, I guess, successes that you can point to that where this model has been implemented?
No. In the 90s, when the department had the electronic detention program, they were referenced as work release centers at the time, but those were in existence at that time.
Okay. Thank you. Those are all my questions.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from the panel? I had one more. I wanted to take everybody else first. Okay, going back to that and what we just talked about, I guess my concern is what I brought up before, and I don't think that you have the numbers, you know, for this center specifically, but if you're talking about what we were just coming up with, 40% of the people going back and being incarcerated, and the numbers are something like 4 out of every 5, there's recidivism rate. So you're taking the people out who you've already started to somewhat transition into jobs, and you're putting them back into that. I think that that's, it's not that I don't agree that the governor is trying to look at ways of cutting the budget, but I see that as being short-sighted, because you're putting 40% people back into incarceration and then back into that numerical number of 4 out of 5 being, you know, coming back in to the prison system. Whereas right now you've already got 224 people that you've got transitioning into a good program, it sounds like, and giving them a better quality of life to move forward into a job and back into communities. I had one other question to follow up on what we discussed at Joliet, and I don't know if we came up with a number. Few people asked about the overtime on the personnel in the DOC budget. Were we given those numbers?
I don't know if you were, Representative.
We'd like to get those. 2 or 3 people testified on that issue as to the amount, how large the amount of overtime was, and I'd like to get those numbers.
For the Department of Corrections?
Right.
Okay.
Thank you very much. If there are no other questions of this panel, thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony. And we'll move on to, we have panel number 3, elected officials, if you want to take that. I don't know if there are any other local elected officials here. Go ahead, then. Please move to the... Oh, you can go here or you can move to that table, whichever you'd prefer. And if there are any other elected officials, I don't have them. Okay. Thank you. And we will move to the timer system after they're done. Our last hearing went almost 7 hours on Friday, so we want to keep it shorter than that. But we like to try to keep everybody that signed up an opportunity to speak. Representative Gordon, we'll let ladies go first.
Good afternoon. I'd just first like to begin by thanking my colleagues for making the trip here to Peoria. This is actually my district that I represent. And I wanted to also thank the audience members for being here today. We are dealing with some very serious issues here in the state of Illinois. And I think it's important when constituents stand up for the issues that are important to them. A letter that I have sent to Representative Bullock and to Senator Schoenberg, I would actually just simply like to share for the record on today. I would like to speak on behalf of the Peoria Adult Transition Center, which I will also refer to as the PATC. PATC is an incredibly valuable asset to this community, as we have already been listening to. The PATC fulfills its mission as brought out by Representative Riley, for doing a number of things by helping to step down former inmates before they are actually released to parole, and by helping them becoming gainfully employed by offering the structure and security that many individuals need after being released from prison. It provides these individuals with a place to sleep away from the criminal influences that got them in trouble in the first place. As a result, the recidivism rate for the Adult Transition Center here in Peoria is 34%, whereas the recidivism rate around the rest of the state is over 51%. That is a significant cost savings, to say the least. This stability allows former prisoners to successfully transition back into society. Additionally, former inmates are given the opportunity to learn life skills that they need to be successful in the future. As a former employee of Illinois Central College, I cannot tell you how many times, as a retention officer, I worked with young men and young women who were living at Peoria Adult Transition Center, and how much living there and also having the ability to further their education, how both of those elements came together for them at a time when they needed it most and allowed them to become productive citizens. Residents are given a chance to complete their GED, train in the culinary arts, obtain college credit. Individuals can also receive counseling, participate in Alcoholics Anonymous, take life skill courses, and much more. There are services that would not be accessed easily without the Adult Transition Center in Peoria. With the support of services like these, inmates have a much better chance to assimilate into our community. Businesses from around the community have embraced participants of PATC. 67 businesses, and we will hear from many of them throughout this afternoon, and over 15 governmental agencies and non-for-profit employee individuals come from PATC. For government and non-profit agencies, this free labor also helps them to provide for many events throughout the community, because they just simply don't have the resources because of many of the cuts that have come down upon them. Businesses that employ PATC inmates help them learn the skills that they need to succeed. After leaving PATC, these individuals have learned skills and gained references that will help them find other jobs and get the second chance, which is also oftentimes the only thing that keeps them from going back into the penal system. If this facility were to close, the economic impact would be significant. Many of the numbers were already discussed, but I just simply like to discuss them one more time because it's significant. 30 individuals would lose their jobs at PATC. These are skilled members of our workforce who are involved in many other aspects of our community, and losing their skills would be detrimental to this region as a whole. As you make your recommendations about the PATC Center, please remember the opportunities it provides our inmates, our employees, our businesses, our not-for-profit sectors in this community. I would like to join the comments of Senator Kaler that were made before, that because of the successful nature of this particular program, because I believe that inadvertently we will be costing the state more money by cutting this program, I will not be able to support this particular closure in the budget. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Senator Kaler.
Yes, and I'll be brief. I wholeheartedly support what Representative Gordon just shared with you, and I appreciate your coming here and the questions you asked, because I think we're all in agreement. This is a program that works, and why would we ever want to go backwards on it? I remember the struggle when we first talked about the center being developed here in Peoria, and people had all kinds of fears. Well, today I can tell you that it's fully supported because it has integrated into part of the fabric of our community. It works. It is not waste in government. It is a program that I think is vital to making that transition into our community. So, again, my thanks, and I think you very clearly understand where the representative and I are coming from. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony. Moving on to panel number four, employee organizations, unions, and associations. And is it Eddie? I can't remember.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Happy to oblige.
Thank you. We have a lot. Pickett, is that you? Thank you. Great. Please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members of the committee, for the opportunity to address this body. We, with AFSCME Council 31, my name is Eddie Comiant. I'm a regional director for the council. On behalf of our 10,000 members that are impacted by the Department of Corrections and its proposed budget here today, we'd like to register our strong opposition to this plan to close Peoria and all the other ATCs. I'm being joined here by presidents from several of them, Jan Bradley from Fox Valley, Lot Pickett, who will speak in a moment, from right here in Peoria, Greg Foreman from the Southern Illinois ATC, and we have Decatur in the back of the room there as well, Kevin Peters. We all come because this decision really does, and I thank you, Madam Chair, for recognizing it. It really does impact the entire Department of Corrections. Here today, we're going to talk about Peoria, but really this has effects throughout the system, and I think it's important to acknowledge that. You know, we're a labor organization, so obviously one of our concerns is the jobs and you know, our members being impacted by that. Of the projected 800 closures, around 200 of our members would be hitting the streets in Peoria and everywhere else across the state, and that certainly is something that we, you know, take great concern about. But, you know, beyond that, the closure of these ATCs make it more difficult to operate and function in the Department of Corrections as a system. This is a population management tool where there are wait lists to enter ATCs at nearly every other facility out there that would be, you know, taken away if we decide that we want to close these for very short-sighted budgetary reasons. These facilities also give inmates an unprecedented and really unequaled opportunity to stay straight once they reenter the community, and that's something that, you know, that we simply cannot afford to lose. The transition centers prepare offenders for their release through this a gradual return. You know, the old parlance was a halfway house. That's really, you know, the what they provide, and it's something that you can't get through electronic detention, which we'll talk about in a minute. Governor Quinn incentives close all but one of these centers, and I think it's important to note that Fox Valley is the only center of this type for the female population, so would close all of them for females. This plan lays off 137 employees who currently provide counseling and supervision, irreplaceable under the electronic detention program that they've suggested. You know, the folks that live in these ATCs, that work in these ATCs, that then go out in the community and work in these ATCs, and those folks I'm talking about are the inmates, they have an opportunity here that they do not get anywhere else in the prison system, parole included. And we cannot stand to lose it because, as we've already noted, it cuts recidivism not just significantly, it cuts it in half from what it is in the adult population. And that is a program that, you know, really speaks for itself. And also, you know, when you're not making penny-wise and pound-foolish decisions, actually saves the Department of Corrections money in that those people don't return to the adult system at all. And we'll hear from some of those today as well. So, you know, I want to talk about electronic detention a little bit before we conclude, because it's what you've heard already is just full of holes. Full of holes, full of hope, full of, you know, well, we think it might, we hope it oughta. But one thing that I think it's important to underscore is you heard it from the department itself. They don't think that there's any reason that electronic detention reinstated like it was in the 90s could be any worse than the regular recidivism rate that we deal with in the Department of Corrections. Well, if they're going to pretend that it's a replacement for ATCs, they should be telling you that it's going to do better, because that's what it would have to do, significantly better than the current adult system, because that's what the ATCs do. The ATCs provide reentry into society significantly better than anything that can be done in a traditional a traditional institution, and that's why you must preserve them. In conclusion, I'll just say that, you know, this proposal is ill-conceived, it's painfully convoluted, it promises outcomes it cannot deliver, it's irresponsible, and it's dangerous for the citizens of Illinois, it's dangerous for those who provide services within the Department of Corrections, and most importantly, and I hope what you take away from here and what you eventually vote on more than anything, is it's dangerous and irresponsible to those that need this reentry port into society to become productive members.
Thank you for your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Lott Pickett, and I'm a correction resident counselor 2 at Peoria ATC and president of Ask Me Local 359. On behalf of our union and all the employees and residents of Peoria ATC, we want to thank the commission members as well as IDOC administration for allowing us the opportunity to present our firm position on keeping Peoria ATC open. We are confident that after hearing the testimony of past Peoria ATC offenders who are now successful wage owners, employers that have established a positive relationship with our facility and our dedicated staff who are moving offenders forward while holding them accountable. You will vote to keep Peoria and all ATCs open. Unlike electronic monitoring, ATCs are a positive, proven, established solution to prison overcrowding. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you state your name and are you giving testimony?
Janet Bradley, president of Local 416 Fox Valley Work Release. Fox Valley Work Release, as Eddie said, is the only institution that houses female residents. I prefer to call them residents. They house about 130 females. 95% of the females there work in the community. They get their treatment, their drug treatment in the community, their anger management treatment in the community, family services in the community. Approximately $250,000 is given back to the general revenue fund from the female residents that live at Fox Valley Work Release. Less than 50% of the women who work there, I meant who live there, would be eligible for electronic detention. And with the proposed closure of Dwight, the other 50% would go, not to Dwight if it closes, would go right back into prison. So we ask that you keep the institutions open because of the purpose that they serve, not only to the residents, but to the community.
Thank you very much.
Check if that mic's on.
Pardon me?
That mic on.
That mic on. I think you have to speak into it really closely.
Good morning. My name is Greg Foreman. I represent the Southern Illinois Adult Transition Center in Carbondale. There's not really much I could add to what has already been testified to other than the concept of the revolving door of without these ATCs being, you know, the programs that they are. You know, what other alternatives do these inmates have, you know, as far as reintegration into the communities? They're good. It provides them an opportunity to learn job skills and basic life skills that they probably would not have had otherwise, that electronic monitoring is not going to give them. The staff that work at these facilities, for the most part, they help them and encourage them to seek employment. The Southern Illinois Transition Center currently employs 98% of the inmates out of there's 64 inmates down there that 98% of them are currently full-time employed, and they the other 2% are part-time employed. I mean, and they provide the services to themselves, to their families. They pay their helps them learn how to pay their taxes. The fathers, you know, helping, you know, support their own personal families. No, like I say, there's not much more that I can add. I think you see the picture that these programs and these centers actually do provide to the communities and to the citizens of this state. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions of this panel by the members of the committee? No. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
The next panel are former inmates and family. We have eight, so maybe we'll take four at a time. Deborah Schroat, Jenny Stepanian, Nicholas Sellers, Tim Edwards.
Sorry, I'm nervous.
Well, if there's not the other two of that, then maybe we'll go on and ask the other four to come on up. Jason Altman, Jonathan Romaine, Ed Johnson, and Nicholas Rayleigh. Oh, good thing we did. Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Deborah Schroat. I am here today to ask for your help in keeping the adult transition centers open. This is such an important issue to me personally because my son is a month away from being placed at a facility. This is a huge opportunity for him.
You could speak a little bit closer to the thing.
For our entire family. We will be able to once again work to support his wife, his children, and be able to see them on a regular basis. My son is a hardworking family man who made a mistake and has successfully accepted his punishment. He wants to change his life and make a good decision at the Peoria, I'm so nervous. The Peoria ATC will help him stay on a positive path with services available through his facility. He will be given the tools for necessary to re-enter into society as a productive citizen. While he is at the ATC, he will be paying for the state for his room and board. He will be working and saving money. Once again, he will be able to take responsibility for himself and his family. The Illinois Department of Corrections is seriously overcrowded by closing these adult transition centers. The overcrowding will only be worsened. ATCs get inmates ready for the release by helping them to get jobs, by providing them with counseling and education, by gradually giving them more responsibility for freedom. Sorry. Please do not close the Peoria Adult Transition Centers. It plays such an important role in the rehabilitation of low-level, nonviolent offenders. I am asking you to help keep these centers open. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony.
Hello. Good afternoon, committee members. My name is Jenny Stepanian. I am here to request your support to keep Peoria Transition Center open. It is being proposed to replace ATC facilities with electronic detention. I understand there is a substantial difference between electric monitoring and adult transition centers. However, these centers, in the long run, ultimately cost society less. This is because inmates who go through ATCs are less likely to re-offend. ATCs facilities provide individuals with job assistance. With ATCs open, families will remain more intact because ATCs promote family unification through programs such as family and parenting counseling, drug abuse treatment, anger assistance, and financial and career counseling. Ankle monitors do not provide these types of assistance. In fact, ankle monitors provide no reentry assistance. Many inmates who would have been eligible for the ATC will not be eligible for electronic detention programs. Inmates who are eligible for electronic detention will return or remain in the already grossly overpopulated Illinois prisons. Please keep these centers open. My father always said it's easier to reform a criminal than to lock them up for the rest of their lives. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Jonathan Romaine. I also came through the Peoria ATS. I was actually one of the first inmates to be in the new center here. Today I'm a professional artist. I travel across the country. I show my work all over. I've had an opportunity to present the President of the United States, Bill Clinton, with a painting not long after my release from prison, and I was able to begin my art career through the work release program here in Peoria, Illinois, and it served several purposes. One, I don't think many of the inmates at that Peoria Work Release Center would have had an opportunity to experience what it feels like for the first time in their life to actually get a paycheck. And for many inmates coming out of prison, you don't have a buffer or a time period in which you can make that adjustment, going from absolutely nothing to ultimately having an opportunity to gain employment, to have a group of people around you just like you to encourage you and to motivate you. What the inmates do for one another in these work release programs is unlike any place I've ever been, where you have individuals that have jobs that are encouraging the new individuals that's coming in to get jobs. They're acting and representing as a resource for these inmates. Unlike any, you won't get that on electronic detention. I got an uncle right now that just finished 17 years in the penitentiary, in a federal prison. He's getting out on Friday. I'm going to Chicago to pick him up from the airport. He was a three-time offender. Each case was a drug case. He was a dope fiend. He was not a hardcore criminal, but he just got caught up in the system. And I believe if he would have had an opportunity to participate in a program like a work release center instead of the electronic detention center, which he eventually cut the bracelet off his ankle and got right back out in the community that he was in, and led to his three-time offense and ultimately got life in prison, but was eventually overturned because of a crack cocaine status or whatever. But he did 17 years. He wouldn't have had to do 17 years if there was a buffer, an opportunity for him when he got out of prison, like I was afforded coming out of prison. Thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Ed Johnson.
Can you just pass it down?
Oh. I'm a little unorthodox, but I want to show you all a picture of me before I come to Peoria and the Work Release Center. I was, like the gentleman said, I was strung out on drugs real bad, and the only avenue that I thought for a person to make a living is to sell drugs or do other crime activities. By being able and fortunate enough to come through the Peoria Work Release Center, they showed me a whole different light. Not only was the officers, but the volunteers that they have come in helped me out tremendously. I started attending ICC while I was at the Work Release Center. My life has changed tremendously, and it would not be if I would have just been released to a home monitor. I would have got home, my buddies would have came straight to my house, we would have threw a big party, and before you know it, that vicious cycle would have been repeated over and over and over again. And what gasses me here is that in this meeting, they say that it works. I know there's a budget crisis, and I've heard someone on your panel say there might be some money allocated other places that you could switch. But why would you take a program away that is working? Only thing I could think, and now I'm a voter, I'm a registered voter, and I do vote. I take pride in voting. My family is Democrats, but if it's a Democrat that I don't agree with, I'll vote against that Democrat. I hate to say it. But what I really want to touch bases is on this one simple thing is that everyone always thinks penitentiaries and prisons is a money thing, it's a cash cow. And now I'm starting to think, wow, I should have jumped on that IPO for those ankle bracelets because that's a multi-million dollar industry in itself. You know, whoever makes those ankle bracelets are probably lobbying for this closure. They're not lobbying to keep a community that's thriving. If I had an ankle bracelet on and went to try to get a job, first thing they look at me is, oh, he got an ankle bracelet on. He's not. But when I go with the work release van, they almost guarantee a job. They know I'm going to be to work on time. They know I'm not going to be called in sick. They know there's a whole lot of things that I'm going to do as positive to keep that job because I definitely don't want to go back to prison. When if I get out of prison, they send you off with $10 or $5 go home money, and you spend that at the first store you go to. You'll spend that money, so the next convenient thing is to go right back to the crime that I was doing before I ever even got incarcerated. And I think they need to open up more work releases rather than close the work release centers. And I'll say this in closing, I won't hold you all hostage, but in my wildest of dreams, if I'd have went and seen a psychic and they said, hey, one day you're going to be talking up for prison system, I would have said, you're crazy. I'll never do that in my life. Well, I guess I'm crazy because I'm sitting here fighting for a prison system to stay open. Only one that's like the work release center. You know what I mean? I can go on and on and on about how the Work Release Center is needed, not only in this community, but in other communities. Whoever goes with keeping this place open, they have my vote. And they have a lot of other people that thinks like I do. They have their votes. I hate to say it, but the person who shuts this down, and it's public information, I'll find out who it is, and I'll never vote for them, and I'll tell all my family not to vote for them. But I'd like to thank you all for this opportunity. I'd like to thank my higher power, which is God, to allow me to stand up here in front of you prestigious people and allowing me to share what I feel deep down in my heart. I'm not getting paid for being up here. They're not giving me no mileage to drive around and come around and set in here to talk on something that I truly believe in. I think you would hurt the community of Peoria. And I'm wondering why all of them getting shut down except in Chicago. It seems like that's where all the big shots and all the things are dealt with up there in Chicago and in the small towns or the small communities. We get the tail end of everything. You know, like I said. Beg your pardon, sir?
You will get rearrested if you don't adhere to the buzzer.
Well, sir, I am free inside. And if I get arrested, hopefully they have a work release center that will get me back on the track again. Because without that work release, I probably would be rearrested.
We appreciate your testimony.
And you're Mr. Trotter? Okay.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your very personal testimony. There were a couple people that didn't come up. I want to make sure they're not here. Nicholas Seller and Tim Edwards. Well, I called off everybody. I think the others were here. Oh, I'm sorry. Two more of the people? Oh, come on up. Are you on the list?
He's on a witness.
Ed Johnson?
No, not in this part of it.
Oh, are you on one of the other? Are you an employee?
Mates and family.
No, that's it. Come on up. Inmates and family. Anybody else that was supposed to be on
the rules?
Pardon me?
Filled out a witness slip.
Oh, they were on the addendum. We have you on the addendum.
I just deposited the quarters. You go.
Okay, go ahead. Please proceed. I'm sorry you were on the addendum.
Go ahead. I'm after you.
My name is Reverend Sam Russell. Born and raised in Peoria all my life, and I've been working with the present Work Release Center here in Peoria for at least 13 years. I've did their modules, Bible studies, counseling sessions. The list goes on. I just think personally it would be a travesty to shut down this center, because a lot of the people that have come through this center, they've come through the ministry that I have, and we've set things in place to help them with drug counseling, PH Connection, which is a substance abuse class that we do every Thursday. A lot of the people that have come out of this center have came through that particular entity, and a lot of the people are also male and female. They're now productive citizens. They pay taxes. They've got jobs. They own homes. They even own homes to rent to other people who need homes. They have been my go-to when the people in the city who are afraid of people coming out of the Department of Corrections can't find a place to stay. They know me, so they say, okay, Reverend Russell, we'll rent to the person, because they become productive citizens. And the list goes on in terms of what we can say about this transition center. I've been there with them for these number of years, and I think it's important that the moral compass as far as religion is representative, because these inmates need God. And we have to take the time out to share with them, be with them, counsel with them, help them bring their families back together, help a man know what it means to love his wife as Christ loved the church, help a woman know where her role is and responsibility is in bringing up children, and then also learning the respect for each other. And the list goes on. When we talk about children, we talk about teenagers. Those families need each other. Each member needs each other, and that's what we do. And if you close this center, all of the things that you already know, all the things that you've probably talked about among yourselves, those things would eventually cause a big problem for what is a problem in the city. So I'm trusting that you will not close this center.
Thank you very much, Reverend Russell. Please.
Hello, my name is Chris McAfee. I was a participant from Peoria Adult Transition Center. It'd be very detrimental to close the Work Release Center, because it teaches a guy that's coming out of prison how to be community, how to impact the community. If you close the work release center, what you doing, you putting them on house arrest. Now I was on house arrest. I use my experience. I just don't talk it. So I was on house arrest. It didn't work. It don't work. Because the programs the work release have, the college has nothing to do with that. They have their own program. See, and I made it through this program because right now I'm a counselor. I help supervise 70 homeless men for Salvation Army. See, I put that out there because I've been working. I was at the work release center with a Class X felony, and I got a job. So if you put people on house arrest, you close the center down, they already got felonies. So, of course, it's going to definitely be hard for them to get a job. But it's easy to go back to what you know how to do. It's simple. I heard a lot of redundant, crazy stuff I ain't never heard in my life. You know, you got guys in work release center. You're going to do this house arrest thing. ED bracelet, you want to call it ED bracelet. Some of them going to get it. The rest of them that's working, got a job, got felony already on the record. You're going to strip them from that and send them back to the institution. So when you strip a man from that, you break his pride, his integrity, everything is lost. See, what the Peoria Work Release Center does, it restores a man back to his integrity, his rightful place, to be a community provider, to be a family man, to be a father, to be a husband. See, I got a wife now, too. Thanks for the Peoria Work Release Center because it helped my mind state. See, it's all about the mind. It changed the way I think and the way I've seen things. Because when I was in prison, I came out with the same mind state that I have to protect myself against anything. But when I got there, I understand that it wasn't about that. See, you got two different type of people. I'm going to end this. Heartless and heartfelt. So I'm asking you, don't close the Work Release Center. I'm speaking for nations because it's very important. It's beneficial for them guys to get out, get a job with a felony now through the Work Release Center program. On house arrest, if you got a felony, try to get a job. In the door already, I've been there. We'll get in contact with you later. But see, I thank God that I'm moving forward. Next year I have my bachelor's degree quickly. I'm an offender specialist. I go into prisons now and speak to guys that's in prison. I left one Friday, Illinois River. And I'm getting invited to go back and speak because I know what it takes to make it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Oh, did you have a question? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Representative Riley.
Thank you. To everybody who was on the last panel, we're going to move to another one. Thank you so much for your testimony. Very compelling. You know, it's real. But I just want to say this, and it just so happens, you know, I'm with you on this one. I want to try to keep this center open. But there's just some things that I want to say, just so you know. One of the things that we run into as legislators, and first of all, I also want to say everybody's job is difficult. When you go around saying that somebody's job is easy, or it's easy to sit up there, or it's easy to sit out there, then you're not, you lose your humanity. Everyone's job is difficult and it's vital. This commission is charged with hearing, and Patty, I don't want to steal your thunder if the chairman already has stated that, but we have to hear all about facility closures, and we make a recommendation to the governor. But I just want to mention something to you, and this is with a man who I've known a long time, decades, and I really, really like the guy personally, but the governor has made a decision to close this facility. We merely hear from you, and it's a tremendous opportunity to hear from you, testify, to hear the departments who are part of the process under the governor, to hear their reasoning. So everybody gets a chance to be heard, and that's what democracy is all about. But we will make a recommendation, but in the broad policy document that the budget is, that is presented to the legislature by the governor. And along with it are his ideas, his administration's ideas, and so on and so forth. So I just want everybody to sort of understand what the process is. But again, you know, to the last panel, each and every one of you, your testimony was really compelling, and it touched me. We have a tremendous amount of information that has come to us about all of these facility closings. You know, so folks will have their particular idea based on evidence and based on maybe their own ideology to make their decisions. But your testimony was no less compelling, and I really appreciate that from all of you. And to Mr. Romaine, I know your stuff. That when I saw your name, I said, this name sounds familiar. I've seen your work. So thank you so much. I just wanted to make that statement.
Thank you very much, and again, thank you for your testimony. We'll move on to panel number six, which is business. I'll call up the people: Mike Bahn, Bill O'Neill, Ed Diver, Mark Krautz, I think it's Pat Kelleher's Pub, Crystal Sedona Staffing. That's the first six, and then we have five more after that. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Mike. I own Basta's in Peoria Heights. I have worked with the Work Release Center for over 13 years. I think it's fiscally irresponsible to close this facility down because our community can't support it. We have jobs. We have factories. We teach them. They do a great job, and there are a lot of good guys in there. There's a lot of guys that do deserve to go back, but there's a lot of good people that are just trying to get through the program and be done. And they provide a service for me. I pay them. They pay their taxes. And then they spend their money here in the community with us. Sometimes they break the rules and spend it where they're not supposed to. But they still spend money here. And I don't really know what else to say, but I really would not like this facility here in Peoria to close down. I think they do a great job.
Thank you very much. It doesn't make a difference, whoever. Okay, just state your name when you speak. That's
good. I'm David from Sedona Staffing. Crystal couldn't be here, so I took her place. We've dealt with Peoria Adult Transition Center for 9 years now, and it's been nothing but a pleasant experience. I think the word that Representative Poe and Representative Riley are looking for is structure when you're looking at this. Because we've dealt with people with ankle monitors, and we've dealt with Peoria Adult Transition Center. Peoria Adult Transition Center, they show up to work. And that's how I sell it to my customers when I go out there. 4 weeks ago, there was a devastating fire at BSI in Morton. They needed workers on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. I called the PATC. We had 14 workers there by 8:30 in the morning. They did an outstanding job, and they worked the rest of the week. By the way, the fire was on Tuesday. They were up and running on Monday and supplying parts to Caterpillar. So don't close this facility.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Pat Sullivan. I own Kelleher's Irish Pub and Restaurant, and we've worked with the center for quite some time. I also own some buildings on the riverfront that I hire there also. I also am running for office. I'm not plucking, but just to let you know. The structure that this group of human beings come from, they've made their mistake, but they're trying to get back on target, most of them. And the structure that these guys send down and the structure that we've helped with them, and we've gotten together to make sure that these guys get on the right track and gals get on the right track. It's been unbelievable in the last 10 years that I've been working with them. A lot of them have some family tragedies and so forth that they're really, really trying. To take this away not only takes the structure away. I don't believe if they don't have structure, they won't get back into society as well. There'll be a few cases, not the cases that you're hearing today. We believe in this area, because I think in this area alone, the money we pay, they have to pay in back to the center, and they make over $700,000 back into the center. Not counting the money that they do spend, but they do relocate. They do. Some of them aren't from here, but they do have to get back into society and to put an anklet bracelet on them and saying, "Be good boys and girls and go get some work." I don't think it's going to work. We definitely don't want this facility closed. I'll try to keep it under time limit. I'm learning that.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. Are there any questions to this panel? Oh, one more. Thank you.
My name is Mark Kautz. I'm a general manager at Cast and Cleaning Resources, and I've worked with the Work Release Center for the better part of 7 years in some form or fashion. We're a subcontractor for Caterpillar. We do a very, very difficult, labor-intensive sort of work, and we pay very well for it. The people at Peoria Adult Transition Center are really literally crawling all over themselves to try to get on at our factory. And I wanted to speak to a few points. One is that the point was made that the jobs and the services will be there regardless of their parole site. Well, I don't believe that's the case. As Pat spoke to, a lot of our guys are from as far away as Carbondale to Quincy to Chicago. And I can't tell you the percentage that have wanted to relocate and have relocated just to stick with this job. Or a job. That opportunity, in my opinion, is not there in every location in the state of Illinois. The network is here, as represented by the people at this table that have worked with this center for a long, long time and would love to continue to do so. And quite frankly, in my business, I fear for the future of our staffing, because outside of the Work Release Center, our employment rates, retention rates, are very much reduced. Working with the Work Release Center, we have an awful lot better retention rate than we do outside. I don't see financially how it makes sense to spike a recidivism rate in order to close a Work Release Center. Those two points make no sense for me, and I really hope everyone here votes for the governor to make a recommendation to keep this place open. Thank you.
Thank you all very much for your testimony. We appreciate it. I'll call the next Cindy Neal, Art from PMP Press, Carl from Plaza Tire, Fred from Morton Supply, Mary from USA Tech. Sorry, I don't have your last names on. There's another one, Ashley Miller. Is there another business person that I didn't call? Go ahead. Thank you very much. Just proceed. Please proceed, someone, and just state your name. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mark Young, owner of PMP Press. We've used the Peoria Adult Transition Center for at least 15 years, and we're not sure what we would do without them. They're 15 to 20% of our workforce. We started out 20 years ago trying to use temporary agencies, and the problem with that is you had to ask for five and hope two of them showed up. The work release program, as it was mentioned, yeah, they're a captive audience. They show up every day. They work hard. They do a wonderful job for us. In return, we give something back. We have three currently that have went out of the transition center that are working for us. Two of them are operators that are basically running their crews, and one of them is just a line worker, but he's been there. In most cases, when they leave and their time's up, they go to another facility, or not another facility, I'm sorry. They go to wherever they were from, so you lose them. But one thing they take with them is they take a trade. We had a phone call the other day from another place, printing company, that was looking for a skilled operator, and there was one, the guy that they were looking for was a guy that went through the Peoria Adult Transition Center with us. So just from a company standpoint, it would be very difficult. It's very hard to find entry-level positions that will stick around and do the type of work and the type of job that, you know, the Peoria Adult Transition has done for us. So we appreciate them, and we'd like to see them stick around. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hello, my name's Tom Landon. I own McCallahan Pork Processors in Peoria. I was not on the agenda, but we have worked with the Peoria Adult Transition Center for many years. My company, I'm a third generation owner. We've been in Peoria for the last 75 years, so this is, we are celebrating our 75th anniversary this year, and we're very proud of that. Currently, 17% of my workforce is either currently in the Peoria Adult Transition Center or was a former resident. I have I'm a unionized workforce. When they come, they join the union, they get health care, they pay their taxes, they're good people. They work very, very hard. And as was been said previously, some of these folks, this is the first job they've ever had. I had one gentleman that, I don't know what he did, but this was the first job he had in 40 years. He was in jail for nearly 40 years. And this is the first job he's ever had. And it's work. This is a win-win-win for everybody. So don't close it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll go ahead. Can you hear me okay? My name is Cindy Neal. I'm the owner and operator of Express Employment Professionals here in Peoria, and I've been interviewing and hiring people for over 20 years. So over those years, I've gotten pretty good at judging character of our applicants. We currently have about 10 ongoing individuals from the center that work for us. They get a variety of work experiences, and I agree with what's been said that they're very dependable and reliable. And we have many success stories of those that have been in transition, gotten employment opportunities through us, and then have been hired by the companies where we place them. So many, many success stories. I do not believe that electronic monitoring will give the same situation in the workplace that we currently experience through the transition center. And I don't believe some of the critters I've met that we have chosen not to work with out of the center would thrive as well as those that come through the center. We have also been responsible for some folks going back to prison because of things that they did or didn't do appropriately in the workplace when they were with us. If I can put my business owner taxpayer hat on for just a moment, I'm kind of frustrated by the state of Illinois. We've got a system. It's not broken. Why are we trying to fix it? And just the money that would be spent and the recidivism rate for those folks that don't come through a center. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Mary Sheen, and I'm with USA Technologies. I'm a manufacturing company in Peoria. I've been with working with the work release for 20 years. In those 20 years, I've also worked with electronic detention. I have worked with parole. And the only people who help the gentlemen in the system, the inmates that reside there, are the counselors and the people in the Adult Transition Center. The other gentleman reported most of the people we get do not come in with work experience. They do not come in with a work ethic. And you put them in a job, you give them a skill, they develop work ethic, and if they don't, I'll make them develop the work ethic. They're there continuously. They don't miss a day. I asked the gentlemen earlier that were up here earlier if what percentage of their income would they give up to stay in the work release program if they had that choice, and I asked the 15 employees I have what they would give up. They would work for free, give it to the state to get the opportunity to get work skills and work experience. Change their 20% to 50%, they're still going to want to go. Closing that center does not benefit the community. Parole does not work for these people. Electronic detention puts them back in the same situation they were, around the same type of people that they were with before, and that doesn't give them work ethic. That doesn't make them go to work. It just makes them stay in their house and do the same old thing.
Hello, my name is Ashley Miller. I'm a human resource specialist at RMH Foods. It's a meat manufacturing plant in Morton, Illinois. I've been there for 2.5 years, and over the past 3 years, we've had an average of 26% of our production personnel come from the Peoria Adult Transition Center, PATC. So we are very familiar with the program and with the men that have come from it. Currently, we have 3 employees, one in our warehouse, one in our quality assurance department, and one in our production department, that all have successfully transitioned from the Peoria Adult Transition Center into either being on parole first, and then even one of them was just on parole for 3 months and then was able to get off of parole because he has a steady job. And he said he believes that he was on parole for so little of a time because of being able to get employment through PATC. So I think even from that stance, it shortens their parole time. I also had a 19-year-old that was able to get his GED while he worked for us and while he was in the center, and he told me after he received his scores that he didn't know how smart he was, and so he was excited about his future, and he went back home, so he's not working for us anymore, but just another success story, which I know you guys know, but just to give you more faces. So just myself and Doug Winkler, who's our VP of HR, would both attest to the benefits of the program to our company. PATC has consistently supplied us with men of intelligence, dependability, and respectfulness, and we as a company have most certainly benefited from participating in the program. Thank you.
My name's Fred Schmedgall. I'm the president of Morton Supplies. We are a commercial tire retread facility in Morton. I currently have 23 residents that are employees. They work every day. We work 2 shifts. The work that we do, it's hot, it's dirty. It's the kind of thing that nobody ever wants to be a retreader. They all fall into it by accident, including myself. The people that we have hired from the transition center versus the people that we hire from the outside, it's a far better grade of employee, believe it or not. At the day and age that we're in, with 8% or 10% unemployment, how someone could say something like that is utterly ridiculous, but it is true. I asked one of the guys that I have from the transition center, I told him I was coming, and I asked him to write something that he thought that I should say, and he listed some things, and he put down the benefits to the community for the which is an opportunity for the inmate to learn a skill or obtain a job before release, and inmates become accustomed to working before release in public life again, inmates send funds to their family, inmates interact with the community before release, and inmates have money and a job to start parole with. The benefits to the inmates, he says, are a chance to work and send funds to their families, to reestablish a working schedule before release instead of the Illinois Department of Corrections schedule, a chance to get used to the workplace again before release, interaction with people, a chance to reestablish family ties before release by earning leaves, and a chance to save money and start parole with job and money to help start over. And I know my time's up, but just one other thing. We've had a number of people that would have liked to stay in the area when they did have a job that are paroled back to where they're ticketed, and they just end up back in the same situation that they were to start with. With an ankle bracelet, they're going to go back to where they're ticketed. They're going to go right back through the program or through the system again, and it's not going to accomplish anything. We would very much like to see you guys attack the root of the problem, which instead of closing the transition center, is take a look at how they're being paroled. And if they have a job and want to stay in the community, let them stay in the community. See about helping them move their parole. I think everyone at this table would benefit from that, as well as everyone in society. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think there's two more from business. Mark Couts. And Stephen, is it Walker? Yeah, that's what I thought. He spoke. Go ahead. Thank you.
Hi. Not very good at this. We'll try this. Thank you guys for coming and letting me speak, especially on behalf of the staff and crew at the Work Release Center who we've worked with for probably pretty close to a decade now. On behalf of the employers all around this city.
State your name, please?
Steve Walker, manager of Hoops Pub and Pizza, downtown Peoria. On behalf of the many countless employers who... I know in the community that hire folks from the Work Release Center. And most importantly, what we didn't know, on behalf of the inmates themselves that get jobs, when you first decide to hire from the Work Release Center, as we did many years ago, you weigh all the pros and cons, so then we finally decided that we'd give some of these folks a try and see how it went. And let me tell you, as many folks here have testified, the quality of worker that you get from the Work Release Center, because they live in a structured environment and have rules to follow, far outweighs the work ethic of, in my industry, most of the people, shouldn't say all, but most of the people you hire off the street. They have to come to work every day. They have to report in. They have rules that they got to follow both on and off the clock. And it's just a huge, huge benefit. Not only the location for us being so close to them, just a huge benefit. But what we didn't understand was, and I can bring you letters of former people that's worked for us, that's worked through a Work Release Center, that have wrote me letters after they've gotten out and said that their life would not be the same had they not had a chance to meet us, to develop... kind of a second family, one that they didn't know before existed. Probably currently either between the people that work for us that's still in the Work Release Center or employees that stayed on, probably 25% of my work staff has came through the Work Release Center. Some of them had children now, and it just wouldn't be possible. And I don't feel that they would get those kind of opportunities or would live up to those kind of responsibilities if they were just left to wearing a bracelet and say, here you go, no, we want you to do all this that you're supposed to do. We have to remind ourselves how they got there in the first place. And I really think they need that structure, and they need the staff and crews of people willing to employ them. They need the staff and structure of the people over there at the Work Release Center that's helping them through all this, and GEDs. And not only that, they get an opportunity to save money, which they wouldn't normally do. And so, yes, as an employer standpoint, I think I speak for a lot of them in the community. And I don't know if that was taken away, how we as a small company would afford to replace all those workers as far as training and hiring and finding people. It would be really a detriment to our company. So that's all I got to say today.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony. Okay, moving on to employees. Steve Anglin, Daryl Calhoun, Corby Schill, Tim Edwards, didn't we already have Doug Krause? Anita Slaughter. Mark Krause, maybe this is. Thank you very much. Just please proceed.
Good afternoon. My name is Daryl Calhoun, and I'm a resident counselor at the Peoria ATC. I'm going to cut this brief. I just did a double. I worked last night, and I got to get back tonight. Okay. The notes I had, I pretty much threw away listening to the testimonies of everybody else. But what I just jotted down was, you all know this long-running commercial that goes, going to a baseball game, $95. Buying soda, popcorn, hot dogs, nachos, snow cones, $35. Watching your kid's face enjoy their first pro baseball game, priceless. The morals of this commercial simply states, there are some things in life money can't buy. The governor can't crunch enough numbers to show that closing the Peoria ATC is a sound investment for the state. The work release center that we have, the work and we provide is priceless. It's priceless to the parents who get to see their children, their sons, change and become a responsible citizen. It's priceless to the wives, the girlfriends who have kids, now can count on financial support from these residents. It's also, most important, priceless to these little children with newfound parenting skills displayed by these residents reentering their kids' lives. Now they can make a huge impact and stop this cycle of destruction. And by closing, I pretty much want to ask the governor, they're talking about numbers. We're talking about lives. And you can't compare the difference. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Keisha Pickett, and I'm also a resident counselor. It is not fiscally responsible to shutter a facility that generates income for the state. The residents of the Peoria Adult Transitional Center earned $1,748,269.79 during 2010 and paid $357,099.38 in maintenance to the State General Revenue Fund. In 2011, inmates earned $2,582,605.72, paying a total of $519,164.02 to the State General Revenue Fund. Starting from July 1, 2011 to March 31, 2012, inmates had already earned a sum of $1,922,303.82. Excuse me, paying $392,369.69 to the State General Revenue Fund. With that being said, to incarcerate these inmates back to correctional facilities is to deprive them of an opportunity to earn or acquire job skills to help their families of income in their households. Being that 90% of the inmates at Peoria ATC are from different counties throughout the state, it would be a travesty of justice to have them leave a successful program to reenter a facility at a higher cost. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Doug Cruz. I'm a counselor down at Work Release. I've only been here for a little over a year, but I've been with DOC since 84. The rehabilitation, I've done more to rehabilitate these guys than my whole career by coming here than seeing all my coworkers, how they've helped rehabilitate. It's a real-life lesson for these guys to make money. They leave, or the guy from Home Monitor or anything like that, you're not going to give them as much of a chance unless person come out of Work Release, they've had a 2-year program. You're going to hire them over someone else. Just say it's a real life lesson. These guys got job skills and go from there.
Well, good afternoon. I have to change my speech a little bit after listening to all this testimony and these numbers that DOC provided. But the numbers I came up with, just from a layman's point, assuming they're correct, from the annual report, it takes about $19,000 to house an inmate at PATC, costs about $25,000 to put them back in an average facility. The cost on the average, basically, so it's a difference of $6,000 per inmate to take them out of transition, put them back into a correctional facility. Now, not all, everyone's going to qualify for ED as we've covered. I thought the number was going to be about 100 qualify. He's saying 10, because 180 total statewide, well, that takes my savings to about $1 million. It's going to cost the taxpayers more to close down the ATCs and put them back into a transition center. I don't see the relevance there. But at first glance, you could say closing an ATC would eliminate costs. However, when you follow through on inmates and programs, and what actually happens with transfers back, you can see there's no savings. Furthermore, the local economic impact would be affected by the closures of PATC. With a 95% rate of employment, our residents ride the bus, the transit bus, CityLink. We estimate $38,000 a year will be lost in revenue generated by bus passes, just by half the population that buys the bus passes. Countless economic dollars spent by inmates and surrounding businesses on their independent release time will also be lost. They are also all taxpayers. That will be lost. Alternately, though, money can be saved if we look a little bit farther up this road. Inmates' maintenance currently is at 20% of their income, or up to $400 a month. My taxes go up every year. Their rate has never changed. 25%, $500 tax, save a little more money. Additionally, there's an inmate benefit fund, which remains larger than untapped, with enough money to purchase new vehicles and fuel that could be used for our transporting them only to work. So it would be for their benefit only. So if we look, if we would look at our budgets, there are solutions out there. The state only has to look in the right places. Thank you.
What did you say your name was, sir?
Steve Anglin.
Any questions? Thank you very much for your testimony. I think the testimony by the other people about the great work that you've done is really compelling and says it all. Thank you. Sure. Anything you'd like to give us? The last panel, I think, is community organizations and other interested parties. Dr. Bernard Zant. Sure. Is one of them, is that Gary? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Come on up. Okay. Thank you.
We came all the way from Aurora. We just wanted to say a few syllables.
Hello. The other doctor here also? Oh, we're going to wait.
Don't have a doctor.
You might as well just come on up, and then we'll just take it. I'll call these other two up. Fred, I can't read it, Schmitzel, and Edward Johnson. Okay, those are the last two. Thank you.
My name is Gary Puckett. I'm a correctional counselor at Fox Valley. And one thing I haven't heard, you've heard how wonderful ATCs are, so I'm not going to belabor that. If I heard it correctly, I heard misleading testimony by the state about how the ED program would work. I go back a long way in DOC, 1983. They've tried ED many, many times in the past. One question I would have for you is, if it's so wonderful, why haven't we tried it before? The reason is, it's not so wonderful. They said that there would be 24-hour monitoring of people on electronic detention. That's false. Parole agents work 40 hours a week. You're going to have one parole agent monitoring someone on ED, not three different shifts. When they had electronic detention in the 80s, they had agents who were on 24-hour call, and they were working overtime. They made a fortune in overtime during that period, because every time the electronic monitoring device would go off, and it goes off when you step into the wrong part of your house, they would have to call the agents. This was done through the ATCs, by the way. Okay, the ATCs were like a middleman for the program. It cost a fortune. Also, something to consider, which I believe has been brought up, is if you think people are going to go home on electronic detention back to their original living room, and they're somehow going to be motivated to go out and work, They're going to be motivated to go out to recovery meetings like AA and NA. They're going to be motivated to go out to GED classes. Then you have spent no time in the Department of Corrections and don't know any inmates, because that's not how it works. And the reason they do these things, the employers just said it all. The best employees they have are the people coming from the work release centers. That's because they are forced to get up. We have standards. You can't call in sick. We have people who want to work all the hours they can work because they're in an ATC. If they were at home, they would not want to do it. So I just think, you know, it's a little misleading to say that this cure-all of electronic detention is going to solve everything. I respectfully disagree. If that were true, I think they would have done it about 2 decades ago. They have periodically dragged this out and tried it, and every single time they have revoked it. Do you recall that we just had this within the last year? As a counselor, I put people out on electronic detention. We killed the program. The reason was because it doesn't work very well.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Latanya Jackson. I'm from Fox Valley ATC, the only female work release center we have. I understand that we are in crisis now with a budget, but we also have to look. And I learned this a long time ago when I first started with DOC back in 1990. Common sense is not so common. That I have learned. And to have a program that pays into the budget money, beyond the money, it is helping inmates to it really, how can I say it? It really falls true to the statement on the DOC in reference to rehabilitation. And so to cut these programs, like I say, I don't want to be redundant from all the speeches that's heard, but it's not common sense. I understand that we do, with me being an employee, dealing with the pension and everything, I understand that we have to trim some fat, but this is not fat. So I ask that maybe the governor need to get back with the director and look at some other avenues that we need to go at, but cutting the ATCs is not one of them. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm here to give the testimony for Dr. Bernard Zant. He is unable to make it. He is actually on a visiting tour in the Department of Corrections with one of the classes that he teaches at Bradley University. So my name is Lisa, and I'm here to give the testimony that he has submitted.
Could you give your last name?
Oh, my name is Lisa Dooley. As a professor of criminology and sociology at Bradley University for the past 40-plus years, having taught a course in corrections at least once a year in that time, having visited innumerable state, federal, and international correctional facilities in that time, having been a co-founder of the Adult Probation Office in 1971, and having a deep theoretical interest in the problems in corrections, especially recidivism, I offer full-hearted support for the retention of the Peoria ATC as one of today's most successful and viable correctional options available. There are so many reasons that corrections is failing, and the recidivism rates are rising as a significant part of that failure. But the concept and practice of transitional and step-down facilities and practices is not one of them. In fact, they are one of the few correctional practices that actually reduce recidivism rates. We recycle criminals far better than any other product. The reasons for this are deep and pervasive. But at the least, transitional facilities and practices are able to mitigate many of the issues that confront criminals leaving prison today. Soldiers enduring combat are frequently beset with adjustment problems, as well do law enforcement officers involved in critical duties, who then need and are given appropriate debriefings and other transitional practices to assist them with the traumas endured. Since many of us have never lived in a prison, how can we know what those on the other side are experiencing? Why shouldn't we, as intelligent members of our society, work to reduce the germs and traumas that cause illness and crime? Transitional practices, like other intervention services, including medical ones, serve that purpose. They are able to refresh the mind and put reason and rationality back into at least some of those who will be back on our streets. Employment is a critical factor in reducing recidivism. It also creates structure and goal attainment. These are things that transitional centers like the Peoria ATC can and do help accomplish. There are many young men who are staying out of prison, not committing crimes, that would most probably be back without the ATC experience. Some men will actually commit crimes just to be able to go back to prison because they have no job. They will never be productive members of our society. Transition centers change that. Dr. Zant.
Thank you very much. We appreciate all of your testimony. I think that completes today the, I don't know if I stated in the beginning that the purpose was the State Facility Closure Act hearing on Peoria Adult Transition Center. We appreciate everybody from the library again for hosting this, everybody from Peoria that came to testify, all the staff, all the business community, all the volunteers, the employees, and the past residents who spoke today with their very compelling testimony. We appreciate all of that, and thank you very much for coming today. We'll adjourn the meeting. And the CAGFA members, you'll get a notice. We're hoping to have a meeting of voting the first week in May.